Good morning. This is Pastor Mike from the First Presbyterian Church of Boonville, and it is indeed our pleasure to be presenting our Sunday morning worship service with you today on this World Communion Sunday. Let us begin our service in prayer. God of all nations, we give you thanks that we are all made in your image with such rich diversity. On this day, we are in solidarity with the faithful around the world. As we break bread together, we remember that we are still one body in you, even though we have different languages, cultures, traditions, different ways of worship, praying, and praising. In solidarity, we drink the cup together of hope, of new life, knowing that your will is for your people to be one body. We are one body, but we are not the same. It is through the gift of diversity that we are able to be your body. We thank you and praise you for making us all who we are, individually and collectively. Amen. Faced with God's goodness, we recognize our failings, and in the knowledge of God's mercy, we dare tell the truth about ourselves and our world. So in the confidence of God's children, let us confess our sins together. Lord, on this World Communion Sunday, help us to examine our hearts so that we may pay proper respect to Christ's sacrifice on the cross. Thank you for offering reconciliation to all humankind, the forgiveness of sins through Christ, our High Priest. Almighty and ever-present God, we confess our sins to you. We are truly sorry for our wrongdoings and our shortcomings, for sins of commission and sins of omission. Empower us to serve you fully, to share the resources we have with those who have left, to weep with those who weep, and laugh with those who laugh. Help us to be good stewards over the earth that you have placed in your care. Help us to unite in love and concern for one another, not just in our local community, but with brothers and sisters throughout this world. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. And let us pray. Holy Spirit, grant us openness and give us understanding of what each one of us needs to receive through Holy Scripture. When we're facing a difficult choice between the easy and the right decision, help us to choose the narrow path. We also pray for all who are about to set an adventurous journey of faith anywhere within this world. Amen. First reading this morning will be from Galatians 3, and I'll be reading from verses 23 through 29. Listen now to the word of the Lord. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus we are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have been clothed yourself with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our gospel lesson this morning will be taken from Luke 22, and I'll be reading from verses 14 through 30. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going to be determined, but woe to the one with whom he is to be betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be and who would do this. A dispute also arose amongst them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "Those in authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become the youngest and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom. So that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit at the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The Gospel of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of you may remember the award-winning series finale of the show MASH. The producers entitled it the final episode, Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen. And in fact, if you watched it, you were joined by over 125 million other viewers, still making it the single most watched episode and TV event of all time. Set during the Korean War, MASH followed the daily exploits of the Mobile Army Surgical Hospital Unit, located about 3 miles from the front lines of the war zone. Amid the horrors of the war-wounded soldiers, sniper bullets, bombs, incompetent army guidelines, the doctors and nurses relied on humor and hearts of compassion to keep their sanity. And through the common experience, the members of the unit became a close-knit family and community. In the episode Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen, the community finally received some long-awaited good news. The war is over, and they can return home to their families and friends. It's a cause for joyful celebration, and with it, sad goodbyes. The doctors and nurses who have worked side by side in often difficult war zone settings soon realized that going home means that the many close friendships that have been developed were coming to an end. The troops would be scattered across the country, going back to their hometowns. Perhaps you can remember the character of B.J. Honeycutt, who doesn't want to say those two short and simple words, goodbye. He knows that saying goodbye means that he will never see Hawkeye again. And for the time being, at least, he'll have to live without that daily friendship that he was so accustomed to having during the Korean War. So BJ opts to pretend that he and Hawkeye will keep in touch with Christmas cards and annual visits to medical conventions or at each other's homes. Many of us, me especially, can identify with BJ's anxiety, pain, sadness, and reluctance towards saying the two words that acknowledge the end of a particular relationship in a certain setting, in another pages of our lives turned. Yet saying goodbye to close friends can be extremely difficult once the words are spoken. You know, the 12 disciples likely experienced some fear and anxiety when Jesus announced his time to say goodbye. But what happens? Jesus doesn't let them dwell long in their fear of what will happen to them, and he assures the disciples that they will not be abandoned. Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit will guide you into all the truth. For the Spirit will not speak on its own, but will speak whenever it hears. And the Spirit will declare to you the things that are to come." In her book, Encounters with Jesus, Frances Taylor Gench, commenting on Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples, writes, "While Jesus' words of assurance and the promise of the coming Spirit may not make a departure less difficult, the words do give hope in the midst of change. Jesus' words lift the heavy weight of finality that is often felt when someone has to say goodbye. The presence of the Holy Spirit allows time for both parties who depart from one another to reflect on how change can sometimes be actually quite positive. It is my hope that we will both discover some amazing things about ourselves and God upon my departure from this wonderful church. But rest assured, I love you enough to let you know that I'm only a phone call or a text away if you need me." Looking back, it was in December of 2017 that Gene Kambalek, pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Utica, and then moderator of the session here at Verona, or at Boonville, asked me to have lunch with her in Panera Bread in New Hartford to talk about a new church opportunity. Shortly into our lunch, Jean told me that the church that she thought would be a great match for me was looking for a part-time pastor. And when she told me the church was in Boonville, I don't remember my exact words, but it was something on the lines of, "Are you crazy? Boonville is an hour drive from where I live. And I have heard it snows pretty heavy in that area, Jean. Just go up and check it out. Do a worship service and let me know," she said. Well, I called her the very next day after I made my first visit to Boonville. And I told her that I fell in love. And if the PNC committee's members concur, I would like to explore the possibility further. Well, 3.5 years later, I did not imagine that I would be asked to consider another role, that of a full-time pastor, an opportunity that very few CREs were ever given. And that brings me to today. Nearly 6 weeks after informing session of my decision to accept a new ministry, the hardest part of all is here. Reminded of the parting message by the Apostle Paul to the church in Thessalonica, in which he says, "I urge you to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. Friends, I urge you to hold fast to those farewell words of Paul. The final message of his letter beautifully describes what it means to be a follower of Christ in a life that is so full of so much change, in a life where there is so much darkness near and far. I have always told you that being a follower of Christ is about loving others, encouraging those who need it, being patient with all people. It's about rejoicing, praying, and giving God the thanks for all that He has done. Friends, the time ahead requires a steadfast commitment to be led by the Lord in all that you do. Society will gradually continue the downslope that it is currently heading, and it is up to the leadership of this church to remain steadfast in putting Christ first in all that you do, and to remain committed to the biblical truths of the gospel in all of your associations with others. It is also about making room for the Spirit to carry you on possible uncharted paths, but ones that fulfill God's visions for this church and this community. Don't be afraid to ask, what if? But equally important, it is about constantly moving forward in love to one another and to your neighbors. It means trusting in God and placing all of your needs and worries at the feet of Jesus. Remember, Christ is the head of the church, not a particular pastor. And though we have millions of sheep throughout this world, we have just one chief shepherd. No matter how long a pastor stays in a single congregation is really a matter of the will of God. Pastors will come and they will go. Please remember, the one constant in the church will always be Christ. I am confident that our Lord will keep you through this time of transition, and I believe your future can and will be as bright as your past. Trust that the best days are still yet to come for this church. And in conclusion, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to pastor to you. Thank you for the love, support, and encouragement that you have always shown me and to my family. May God richly bless all of you. Alleluia. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather around this wonderful meal, everywhere and in every place, bless us all, your children. As we eat this bread and drink this cup, linking arms around the world, pour your grace into us all. Grace us with your presence as we quietly and loudly pray to you. May we see in each other your light, your love, and you. May it not matter our differences, our names, our languages, our looks, and our way of doing things. May what matters today and every day be that we are one in you. Teach all leaders your will for guiding those whom they are responsible. Make all of us honest, wise, and kind. Help us to care for our neighbor, to work for opportunity and harmony in our neighborhoods, and to live at peace with each other. Keep in your special care those in the military and all who risk their lives daily for the sake of others. And as we pray, may we call to mind our brothers and sisters who are unable to be with us today, whether it be in body and spirit. May you bring comfort to those who are grieving, lonely, heartbroken, ill, or broken of spirit. May you strengthen those whose lives feel scattered, don't make sense, in crisis, or experiencing loss. May you say the healing word to those who need it. May you bring the human touch of love to those who have not yet been touched. And may you love the unloved through us. May you shine your light into those where the world is covered in darkness. May you use us to feed the hungry, clothe the ones who need clothes, give a cup of water to those who are thirsty, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, and all those who are in prison. May lives be awakened to you, Lord, to your love and to your kingdom, whose door is always open to all. Lord, we lift up those who we love from this congregation and the community. We ask that your blessings be upon Bob and Jack. Be with Vivian and Jane. Bless Nancy and Joanne. Bring comfort to Jean and Mary. Be with our brothers Charlie and John. Be with Wally. Bless our special angels, Lord, Delilah and Danica. And be it praise we ask, Lord, to be with Annette and Charlie. Lord, in your mercy, please hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, the same who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, let us prepare ourselves for the sacrament of Holy Communion on this World Communion Sunday. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from the east and west, from the north and the south, and sit at the table of the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up our hearts, lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, our Creator. You have given us life and second birth in your Spirit. Once we were no people, but now we are your people. You claimed Israel as your chosen nation and raised up the church as a witness to the resurrection, breathing into it your life and power. From worlds apart, you gathered us together. When we go astray, you welcome us home. Always, your love has been steadfast. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the choirs of heaven and with the faithful of every time and place, who forever praise the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In love with you and in the compassion for all, Jesus healed and taught, challenged and comforted, welcomed and saved. He formed a community, promising to be with his disciples wherever two or three were gathered, and sending them on to the mission of hope and healing in the world. Jesus trusted his life to you and went freely to his death so that the world might be set free from suffering and sin. You raised him from death and raised us also to live a new life with him. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you send us out to make disciples as he commanded. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread and this wine from the gifts that you have given us and celebrate with joy the redemption won for us in Jesus Christ. Accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, as a living and holy offering of ourselves, that our lives may proclaim the one crucified and risen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the common on the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ to the world. Give us strength to serve you until the promised day of the resurrection, when the redeemed of all ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, may we who have received this sacrament live in the unity of your Holy Spirit, that we may show forth your gifts to all the world. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let us dedicate the offerings that are received today, as well as those that are still yet to be mailed in. Let us pray. Father, for the blessings of this and all of our days, we thank you. Except we pray not just this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all that you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you might take us. Amen. And now, my friends, may I leave you with the traditional Irish blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon the fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hands. Now go out to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.